It's good to be here. We're going to talk all things emotional health today. And so what I've done is I've asked Dr. Gemma Roo, as Tim has said, to come and be part of that, because I'm very unqualified when it comes to those kinds of things. In fact, this week I was confronted brutally with my lack of emotional health. The guys asked me to record a video for this as a bit of a teaser. And you might, if you follow Good Life Facebook, you might have seen it. And I was scrambling a bit this week. I was running a bit late. They wanted on Tuesday, and Wednesday comes along, and I still hadn't done it. So I set aside some time on Thursday to go and record this video piece. And so I went off down to Alex, and I had my camera set up and microphone and all that kind of thing. Now, filming things isn't necessarily foreign. I don't do it every week, but I do it a little bit. And so it's not a foreign thing. But do you think I could get it right? An hour and a half later, and about 20 different takes and attempts to record this thing, I ended up showing some emotions that weren't great. And I left. And I just left it. And I walked away. And I rang my good friends up at the channel and said, hey, what are you guys doing tomorrow? Can you help me out? And anyway, we got it done. But that to say, we all have circumstances and situations in our lives that usher certain kinds of emotional responses. And sometimes those emotional responses aren't always great. And so what we're going to have a little bit of a chat about is what are these kinds of things? What are some of those kinds of emotions? And what's some things that you can do to help, even control those emotions? Because normally sometimes those emotions, speak to a deeper thing that's going on in our heart. I hope you're enjoying the Transformation Series. There is some incredibly powerful things that we're talking about. But I want you, before we even go on to this next session, and even reflect on the sessions that we've already had, not to walk in shame and condemnation. It's a process. It's a journey. And we're all on that journey. And Christ is so about us growing and becoming like Him. You don't have to walk in that feeling that I'm not good enough. I'm never going to get there. It's just a process, and we take those steps. And I was one of the scriptures that came up during this series is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He's talking about an infirmity. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We can talk about this, different things through the Transformation Series, the things that maybe get highlighted in our lives that maybe need to be tweaked or changed or developed. But again, do not walk in shame. Do not walk in condemnation. But as Tim shared that reading, those unforced rhythms of grace. Allow that grace and mercy to flood your life and be part of that process. Because it's in our weakness that He's made strong. It's when we feel like we can't go any further or do anything to change that circumstance that He comes through and His strength shines through in our lives. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and I just encourage you, keep pushing in this series. Allow, God to shine those lights on your areas. Sometimes we have to, make some adjustments, make some changes. We might have to have some conversations with people to get things right. But ultimately, we're being transformed into that image of Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. So could you please give a really big hand to Dr. Gemma Roo? She comes in and takes a seat up on the table with me. Hey, Gemma, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good. Maybe, I don't want to assume that everyone knows what a clinical psychologist is. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe just give us a bit of a snapshot of, what does a psychologist do? You've got your own practice here and that. What's that mm-hmm. sort of look like?
Well, I guess we're kind of like, sometimes I explain to people in the community and clients that we're sort of like the GPs of the brain or the GPs of mental health. So we kind of we mainly work with people who are referred by GPs in the community or other, you know, people that just come in of their own accord. But most people we see are going through seasons of struggle and difficulty. They might be experiencing anxiety, depression, high levels of stress, to more serious situations where there might be bipolar or schizophrenia or conditions like that involved. But you know, one of the cool things about what I do now is I think that if there was any time in history that was great to be a psychologist, it's probably now, because I think there's been so much stigma that's been removed from what we do. And so now we are getting the privilege of having people come in who, you know, might be feeling just a little bit wobbly, but they want to learn how to overcome that little bit of wobbliness and to really reach their potential. So instead of working from this kind of, you know, really medical model, we're working now with people who want to be the best that they can be and want to know how to overcome obstacles in order to do that.
With the stigma, you know, with that decreasing, has that helped even in the success rates that you have in seeing people, you know, healed from the things they're walking through, just because, you know, there's not the pressure of, you know, you've got mental health, you've got emotional issues, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think sometimes in the past you could go and see a psychologist or even a psychiatrist, and then you might go back home and or out into the community, and because people's attitudes were less generous or less kind, some of the good work that was done could be undone. So absolutely, you know, and people are coming in with more, you know, more open-minded themselves and with more positive attitudes, and obviously that's a huge part of healing and success as well.
That's good. Thank you for what you do. You guys do an amazing job. And Gemma and her husband, Gabe, run the practice together. Last week, Daniel spoke on mental health, and he made this quote, and I'll just read it so I get it right. If our thoughts are the records we play in our mind, what are the records you're playing? And, mate, I just want to commend you on the illustration that you used there. I think it's so appropriate, because even this week I found myself just thinking, okay, what record am I playing? What am I telling myself? What's on repeat? And the circumstances come up and situations may come, and it's so easy just to fall back to that old record and start playing it again. And there is this, you know, this link between our mental health and our emotional health. And maybe, Gemma, you could even just touch on that for a moment. You know, are they different things? Does one feed into the other? Yeah, from your perspective.
Yeah, look, I think the two really overlap, and I think that the thing that's really interesting about the link between mental health and emotional health, and Dan touched on this last week, is that our thinking is so powerful. And when it comes to our emotional well-being, so we'd really define that in psychology as a state of positive psychological functioning, where our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviours are healthy and not destructive. But our thoughts and those records we play in our head are the strongest determinant of the emotions we experience. You know, our emotional makeup is amazing, and the way that we can respond instantaneously, have an emotional reaction to a thought, is quite amazing. So we can see how that can be a really powerful positive thing, but also a really powerful negative thing as well.
So most of us would hold to the belief that we are created by a loving God. We're created in his image. The scriptures are full of people who have wrestled with a whole raft of different emotions at different times. How do you, you know, often we default to the bad emotions, but there actually are good emotions as well. You know, what's the secret in, well, sorry, maybe there's not such a word as a secret. What's the process in terms of grabbing hold of those emotions and actually using them for good, or even to, you know, controlling those?
Yeah, look, I think the main thing with emotions is, A, not to be frightened of them. You know, God created us. He wove us together. He knit us together. And he created emotions because they're signposts for us. And they're ways that we can understand how we respond to different things. And they're also powerful ways to interact with other people and our environment. So emotions like joy and peace and that flow over into gratitude, they're such powerful emotions in our life. And when we harness harness them and we meditate on things that are good and we take a moment of joy and we just sit in it and experience it, that can be so protective for our emotional health. But absolutely, there are emotions as well that when they, it's not that an emotion is bad, but sometimes we can experience emotions at an intensity and probably a frequency that's not so good for us. And so anger, anxiety are two examples of that. So the amazing thing about something like anxiety is it serves a really powerful adaptive purpose. So if we didn't have anxiety, you know, we wouldn't know when there was threat or danger, or, you know, we wouldn't know how to respond to that. But it's when those emotions get to the point where they are destructive for us and they're destructive for our relationships that we need to learn how to manage them and understand them more effectively.
I'd love to maybe just pause for a moment. We'll go on to some tools to, you know, really handling those emotions when they start to maybe get a little bit out of control. Is there a difference between emotions and the moods we feel? You know, is there, you know, the divide there?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about emotions as psychologists, we're referring to these very intense, quite short-lived responses, and we actually call them a subcortical event. And really, to translate that, all that means is it's something that comes from deep within the brain. It's quite an instinctive response. And often when that emotion first rises up, that first moment, it's quite difficult to control. So an emotion is, it's brief, it's in often intense, and it's highly subjective. So my emotion, my experience of anger, my experience of fear is going to be vastly different to anyone's here. And I think just to pause on that for a second, you know, it's really important to understand that, that we will never know, you know, I'll never know what it feels like for Dan when he feels anger, and he'll never know what it feels like for me when I experience grief or sadness. And so that opens up empathy. You know, when we actually get that people react to things with a strong emotional response, you know, instead of going, oh, why did they react like that? You know, it gives us a moment to think, oh, well, you know, that's their experience, and opens up also an opportunity to validate their emotional experience as well. But a mood, by contrast, is something that's longer lasting but tends to be less intense. So sometimes it's triggered by a strong emotion. So we might have something that triggers us and we feel really angry, and then that anger sort of tapers out over the next couple of days into more of a sort of mild irritation. So mood tends to be more pervasive, or, you know, a longer term feeling but less intense.
I think it's a really valid point, guys, in terms of all of us at some point will have friends, relationships, families, whoever it might be, that will walk through these kinds of moments. And it's important, just because we don't understand it, to dismiss it. You know, to actually take the time to, you know, I don't think, and, you know, Jeremy, maybe you speak into this, there's no harm in asking questions about it and to be able to talk about it. It's not this taboo subject that we don't talk about. It's okay to have a conversation if you're in that, you know, degree of relationship with that person, but not to dismiss it. Because to Gemma's point, just because we haven't been there doesn't mean what their experience isn't valid. Did you want to add anything else into that?
Yeah, probably the only thing I'd add to that is that, you know, when someone does have an intense emotional reaction, say they become really hurt by something or quite upset or quite anxious, you know, I think at everyone's, you know, one of everyone's deepest desires is to be seen and to be understood. And God does that so well. You know, he sees us, he understands us, he knows exactly our inner fears and so on. But sometimes it can feel like it's a very lonely experience to feel a really intense emotion. So you don't have to agree or condone, or however you want to put it, someone's emotional response to something. All you need to say is, I can see this is really tough for you, or it seems that's really, you know, it seems like that's really upset you. So validation is such a powerful tool. And I think we often think if we validate someone, it means that we're agreeing with them. We don't actually have to agree with someone. It's just basically, at its simplest, purest form, to validate another's emotion is to say, I see you, you know. And that's such a powerful thing for people to feel supported as well.
That's great. If we're talking about these powerful emotions that can just, you know, rise up and well up, would it be fair to say, or would it be fair to say that there's often an underlying cause or a fear or something else going on, or sometimes they're just emotions?
Yeah. Look, I think, like I said before, emotions are signposts, and, you know, we all experience, you know, mild emotions in different situations. But when you have a really strong emotional response to something, and I'm talking more those negative emotional responses, so a strong response of anger or a strong response of anxiety or hurt, it is often a signpost that there's something deeper that's going on. So I think it's an opportunity to actually step back from that emotion and say, you know, to be a curious observer, I guess, of your emotions, and to say, oh, you know, I noticed that I reacted quite strongly to that, or I'm feeling really hurt. Because the reality is that, you know, we talk all the time in the work we do about these things called core beliefs or schemas, and I think Dan might have touched on this last week. And what that is, it's at the deepest level, it's how you feel about yourself and how you see yourself as a human being. And I really believe, and as Christians, this understanding that, you know, we carry God's DNA. You know, I believe when each, you know, child is born that they carry God's DNA, and that God imprints on them the functional form of those core beliefs. I accept you fully and unconditionally. You know, you're not rejected, you're mine. You know, you are enough. But then we go through childhood and experiences, and it might be the neglect of a parent, it might be sexual abuse, it might be bullying. And somehow through those experiences, those core beliefs that God gives us to start our journey with get replaced with lies. And so all of a sudden where we feel rejected, or we're not enough, or we're not seen or acknowledged. And so when we have those core beliefs, often what happens is if we're in a situation and say, for example, someone doesn't want to hang out with you, or you've offered to help with something and it's been turned down, and all of a sudden you notice again you're feeling hurt and you're feeling disappointed, and it really has a significant impact on you. You know, sometimes that could be a sign that, you know, you're carrying a real sense, a deep sense of rejection, you know, so that when someone sort of pushes that button, you know, obviously sometimes it's not even with intending to do that, it just brings up, you know, that underlying feeling of pain. So yeah, definitely not everyone is going to be carrying the same emotional wounds. Some people haven't had those experiences, but I think our hurt can play a huge role in how we react to situations and the emotions we feel.
So in a room this size, there's going to be people that are, you know, literally suffering with, you know, some of the things that we're talking around when it comes to our emotional health, mental health, yeah, even the other series that we've done around, you know, our physical health and relationships and the like. Are there some tools or some principles that we can put in play to help us journey through those things? You know, we've been talking about seasons, and it is a season, it is a journey that along the way we can think about or put into practice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of things, and the first thing above all, if we are wanting to connect with this idea of transformation, and we're inviting God into our lives and asking Him to go to those deep places and to transform us, you know, it is likely that there's going to be pain that goes along with that. And, you know, anything good often comes with pain. So I think if we're in that season and we're recognizing that transformation is happening, self-awareness is really important. So actually just noticing how you react in certain situations. Like I said before, being a curious observer of, you know, how you respond emotionally to different people and different situations, and then asking yourself why that might be. But I think more broadly, when it comes to managing our emotions and having good emotional health, we give ourselves the best chance to do that when we make sure that some stuff is strong in our life. So in psychology, we talk about these five pillars, and basically they're the five pillars of, you know, emotional resilience or emotional well-being. And they are physical health. So obviously, you know, Shane's talked about this, but from a psychological perspective, those parts of physical health that are within our control or largely within our control are so powerful for our emotional well-being. So they are diet, exercise and sleep. So we know intuitively if we've had a poor night's sleep, we haven't eaten well, we've had too much caffeine, you know, perhaps we haven't exercised for a long time, we're not going to be feeling our best. And when we're not feeling our best, we're more vulnerable when it comes to our emotions as well. The second one is relationships. So sowing energy and time into close, authentic relationships, relationships with people who love and care about you and have your best interests at heart. Being socially connected is so powerful, and being part of a community for good emotional well-being. Right in the center, sort of the, you know, the linchpin of it all is our spiritual, is that spiritual pillar. And so that is when we are walking closely with God and we are actually sowing into that part of our life, we are actually much more resilient and much more able to cope with adversity. And we're also in a better place that if God brings something up, you know, we are aware of it and we hear it and we know, you know, what areas we need to work in. And the really cool thing about that spiritual pillar is that the research around these pillars was secular research, but it's still determined that our spiritual health is a huge part of our emotional well-being. You know, having a faith and a cohesive set of values is just so powerful. The fourth is having a robust sense of purpose and meaning. And that might come from your work, it might come from your study, it might come from the way you engage in the community. And what we know is that when people have that sense of purpose and something they get up each day for, that they are so much more resilient. It gives them something to live for, and definitely when we see people with depression, there's often a big part of that is often not feeling connected with purpose and with meaning. And the final pillar is what we refer to as classic self-care. So what rests you, what relaxes you, and doing some reflection as well, because obviously without reflection we can't be self-aware. A really powerful form of reflection that's been demonstrated to be really strongly linked to emotional well-being is gratitude. So this is a concept that's been talked about a lot in the last few years, this idea of taking stock of the things in a really structured way that actually you're grateful for. And what we know scientifically is when we meditate on something we're grateful for, we lower the levels of stress hormones in our body and we increase the levels of hormones that actually support good mental health and good emotional well-being. So we're wired to be grateful, and it certainly helps with our emotional resilience.
That's great. In your day-to-day life and the people that you work with, would it be fair to say, or have you seen where people move on from these moments of darkness and pain and hurt, and those actual things become the thing that really propels them on to doing amazing things in their life, that it almost becomes a source that they, or the springboard that they can launch out to? Do people, once they've walked that and through that healing process, then go on and do amazing things as a result of that?
Yeah, that's the really cool thing about transformation, about dealing with emotional pain, about overcoming, you know, traumas and struggles and hurts, is that, you know, God wastes nothing. You know, he uses those experiences for the greater good, not only for the greater good, but for your good as well. So absolutely, one of the privileges of what I do is seeing people go from places where they're in real emotional suffering, and to process that, to work through that, to forgive, let go, whatever that involves, and then to learn new ways of relating to people and relating to themselves and thinking and behaving, and then experiencing, you know, growth and breakthrough as a result of that. And then as the final step, leveraging that knowledge and that experience for the greater good. You know, and I believe that that's the point when we're at that stage where God truly heals us. You know, when we have that excitement that comes from having overcome something and we can't help but share that with other people and want other people to understand that as well. And, you know, one thing that I always see is that, you know, there is such authority that comes from overcoming pain and hardship and stepping into a new life. The authority and the influence you can have in that area is quite remarkable.
If, as I said, big group, lots of people facing different things, and what one person may be facing, you know, another person may be facing something which is significantly worse or not so. Just as a way of sort of wrapping it up, would there be any sort of advice, thoughts, input that you could give to someone sitting there going, you know, oh, I hear this, you know, I want to make some steps in the right direction? Mm-hmm. Now, what would some of those steps be?
The first thing I would say is, you know, be courageous, because what's on the other side of that, you can hardly imagine what it is. You know, when you've dealt with significant pain and you've walked through that and you've honoured it and you've taken responsibility for it and you're no longer a victim of things you've been through but you're an overcomer, you know, that's a pretty powerful place to be. So the first thing, like I said before, is self-awareness and just a willingness to go there, a willingness to acknowledge, when I'm in these situations or at the moment, I'm really torn up by something and I'm really in a lot of pain, and acknowledge it, bring it before God, and then bring it before someone else that you trust. So that might be someone within the church community, it might be someone in your family, it might be a professional. Never underestimate the, you know, how helpful it is to have someone in your life actually walk you through that and walk with you through that, because people can see things about you that you can't always see when you're in the midst of pain. And so having someone else to remind you gently of those things is so powerful. And then I guess the final thing is just, you know, when you have overcome something and you have dealt with it and you want to use it for the greater good somehow, don't despise the small things. You know, like Stephen mentioned, everyone's journey is different. You know, for some people, they have experienced significant trauma. For other people, it's been a change of season or a change of job that's really stretched them. Like I said before, God wastes nothing. And we can gain knowledge and wisdom from that experience that we can share with other people, even if we think, oh, that doesn't sound so significant as the next person.
Gemma, I want to thank you so much for investing into our lives, for bringing your wisdom and your insights. And I would ask that you all give Gemma a really big hand for your time. So thank you very much. Thanks, Gemma. There's some incredible wisdom there and things that we can start to apply. And as I said at the start, whether it's the emotional health or the mental health or the physical, whatever it might be, there's things that require us to take some steps. I was reading this quote earlier, I saw it today, by a guy by the name of Craig Groeschel. And he says, you cannot change what you're willing to tolerate. And so often in our lives, we tolerate these things. You know, it might be, you know, let's even talk physical health. Some of the steps we know that we need to do, yet, you know, we aren't willing to take that next step to move into those things that, you know, we know we should be doing. And, you know, even the five pillars that Gemma talked about, you know, there's some really practical tools there, but we've got to walk into it. We've got to walk into it. And that may mean having to remove some other things that we've tolerated for so long in our lives. What I want to do now is I'm going to invite the worship team up, and we're going to have a time of reflection. Because when we're talking about being transformed, it's a big thing. And these topics that we're talking about are big things. And we need to invite Jesus into the midst of that. There's only so much we can do in our own strength. There's only so much we can do. Now, there's obviously practical things we need to do. And I, as Gemma said, I encourage you, find trusted friends to talk about it. You know, some of us, whatever the topic is that we're covering off any one of these weeks, we may need to seek professional help in that. And they're all vitally important. We also can't neglect the spiritual element to it, where we invite Jesus himself into our circumstance, where we allow the Holy Spirit to start to do a work in our lives. And we're having communion tonight. And we're going to gather around the communion table, which represents the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. It's a table of surrender, where he was willing to lay down everything that he had at the will of the Father. And tonight I wonder if this table, as a table of surrender, could be this place where we lay down some of these things that we might be wrestling with. Some of those heightened emotions that are maybe starting to become detrimental in our lives. Maybe some of the thought patterns or the records that we're playing. Or any one of the other weeks of the series that we've done. You know, maybe there's things which God has highlighted in your life. Tonight is a great night to lay that down. Tonight is a fantastic night to surrender it as we take part in communion together. And I'd just like to create a bit of space before we engage in that table to just sit in silence where you are. Just while the music's playing and just to think. Because often when we pause for a moment in the silence, things start to flood our minds and start to come to the forefront. And it's in those moments where we start to reflect on, hey, maybe there are some underlying fears that I have or, you know, emotions that I'm carrying because of this or that. And I guess my prayer is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, He'd use this moment to start to reveal those things. Then together, as a community of faith, a community of men and women who love Jesus, we can come together at this table and lay Him down. So let's just take a moment in the silence. You maybe close your eyes and bow your heads, sit where you are, and let's just reflect on those things that He wants to deal with tonight.
I'm so grateful. You know, it is this invitation to walk in revelation, in light, in life, in freedom. I really found it fascinating listening to Gemma, and this is the third time today, and each time there's just such richness and truth. But when Gemma was talking about those five pillars, and have a look at this diagram again. Gemma was talking about how emotional health is touched by physical health, is touched by relational health, is touched by spiritual health. She used the term a robust sense of purpose and meaning. And so often in our lives, that's our vocational life. It's the stuff that we do. And the rest, relaxation, reflection, gratitude. And you just look at the reality of this, that our lives are so beautifully complex and intertwined. And there are seasons that we kind of want out. We're like, man, enough, tap out, I'm done. And this is what Paul did, and he writes about it. In 2 Corinthians 12, I think it is, where he says, you know, there was this season where I'd had enough, and three times I asked God, change it. And God goes, no. I want you to know that in your weakness, my strength is perfected, that my grace is sufficient for all your needs. And God would rather us know His grace and sustaining and renewing and strength than just change our circumstances. And this is what I believe the Lord is really doing in our midst in this season, is doing the deep work, not just changing circumstances around the place. Doing that deep work. And so as we go into this week, whatever lies ahead, you know that His grace truly is sufficient in our weakness. His strength is perfected. It's best revealed where we come up short. I always go back to James chapter 1, 5. If you lack wisdom, ask me. Like, come and ask me, and I'll give it abundantly without finding fault. But trust me in it. And so I'm going to close in a word of prayer and just gratitude for what we've been in today. God, I'm so thankful. God, that even those emotions that, you know, take us by storm sometimes, God, they're part of your creation. All part of your purpose in us somewhere, and may we know your transforming work in them, that we're not just ruled by them, not taken captive by even, you know, the strong things that we feel. God, that we would be subject to that leading and that peace of your Holy Spirit. God, whatever our wrestles are, our battles are, God, may we know what it is to be governed by a peace that is given to us not as the world gives it. Now give it and snatch it away. God, it's given in this abiding rest in you. God, thanks for Gemma. Thanks for her willingness as a part of this community to come and share of that wisdom and learnedness. But God, also in such a compassionate and gracious, honest way. And Father, I just pray that you would bless her and Gabe and their girls. Lord, I pray that you would fill their home with joy, with rest, and refresh her as she's given herself and poured herself out and has this whole work week ahead as well. Father, would you bless her and renew her? Give her rest. And now, Lord, I pray also as we continue this journey, as we're sort of in the middle of this spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, vocational journey. God, may we know that it's you who desires to bless and keep us. That it's you who will make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. And Lord, would you lift up the light of your countenance upon us, renew our strength, and grant us your peace now and all the days ahead. We say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.